And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. So great being with you today, and always looking for that prophetic miracle of Jesus Christ coming again. But the scriptures tell us we're going to be going through a lot of stress, a lot of horror, a lot of misery before that great moment when Christ returns. And I want to talk to you today about some very, very momentous things. I want to title today's program, and I think it could be the most important program of any kind, not just from Power of Prophecy Ministries and radio, but any. I'm looking at all the programs and the news and the TV shows and so forth that you might access in a several-year period. Because I want to talk to you about the Illuminati's master plan for global transformation. And I want you to understand, dear friends, that this transformation, this alchemical horror is occurring right now. You know, a couple of decades ago, a man named Alvin Toffler wrote a book that was a big number one international bestseller. It was called Future Shock. And he basically theorized that the world was, let's just say, spinning so fast that people couldn't keep up with it because of, you know, modern changes in technology and societal revolution. And that basically many people would absolutely go insane just trying to keep up with changes. Well, you know, every day now you find new gadgets and high-tech things. Now we have, you know, the iPhone, the iPod, all these tablets coming out. My wife just got one, I think, made by Samsung, you know, and one of these 7-inch tablets. Well, she had to get Jerry, who's our computer manager here, to help her get it programmed and up and running. And she said, would you like to know how to use it? And I said, are you kidding me? I hadn't got time for that. You know, I'm too busy studying and writing. And well, in any case, it's hard to keep up nowadays, isn't it? Everything. The internet, of course, is an incredible miracle. But, you know, when I'm talking about the master plan of the Illuminati for global transformation, I'm not just talking about iPads and iPhones or 3D HD TV or even spooky Big Brother police state technology, you know, predator drone aircraft and surveillance. Seems to be a video cam going up on every corner in every store, and I suspect in many homes unknown to the homeowner. But I want to talk to you about the total, radical, revolutionary transformation of America and the entire world. And it is a planned transformation. And we are all headed, dear friends, in this 21st century, which has been called the Jewish century. I want to talk to you today about culture distortion. That was a term, by the way, used by a man named Francis Parker Yockey. Culture distortion. We certainly have that today. Multiculturalism, of course, is banging away at us. Illegal immigration, different cultures, different religions, different races. And we finally come to realize that basically we have lost our country. So many people write to me and say, Tex, we must work to take our country back. But, of course, I see that as a very silly goal. Take what country back? The country of Thomas Jefferson and John Adams and George Washington? Oh, no, that's long gone. How about more recently, the country of Dwight Eisenhower? No, that's gone too. Friends, it may sound paradoxical, but America is no longer America. It's owned by a media elite, a cultural elite, a political establishment that is so alien that it seems like it's from another galaxy out billions of miles away, many tens of thousands of light years away. I believe a lot of the answers can be found in all this, of course. If you were to read and study the Jewish Talmud, the Jews' Book of Holy Laws, or the Jewish Kabbalah, the magic and sorcery in the Jewish religion called Judaism. Now, believe me, the Bible itself explains very carefully to you about the great changes that will take place in the last days. And the blood and the misery and the human sacrifice and death that will occur, all of it is chronicled in both the book of Daniel and other books, and especially in the book of Revelation. And everything is happening just as was prophesied, or is prophesied. You know, there is a great growing gap between the rich and the poor, for example. And the Jewish billionaires are raking in more money than anyone. But it's fascinating that the Jews at the top of the Illuminati elite are just as ruthless, practically so, toward their own race as and tribe as they are toward we Gentiles. They really are. If you visit Israel and you really know what's going on, you realize that the super rich are getting more and more rich. And the gap between the super rich and the everyday Israeli citizen is wide and getting wider all the time. It's getting so bad that over in Israel, a nation of only 7.5 million, common people have begun to riot and demonstrate. Just this last week, there were riots and demonstrations by the common folk, we'll call them that, of Israel. And they demonstrated and were trying to raise a lot of ruckus down the main streets of the city of Tel Aviv, which is sort of the New York City and Wall Street of Israel. And then some of these demonstrators who claim to be, you know, everyday working people, who said they're fed up with lack of housing, lack of good food, lack of dignity extended to them by their own country. And you know, right at the height of the demonstrations, as they were marching down the street with signs, placards, and so forth, tens of thousands of Israelis demonstrating against their own government, suddenly the demonstrators brought forth something from one of the alleys there that they had built, and it was a perfect reproduction of a guillotine. A guillotine. And I'll tell you, it looked pretty deadly, too. It looked just like the paintings and so forth of the ancient guillotines and used during the French Revolution, you know, where King Louis and Marie Antoinette, his wife, lost their heads. By the way, a lot of people think they must have been tyrants for the people to get so enraged at Louis and his wife, Marie Antoinette, were taken to the guillotine and their heads chopped off. You would think he must have been one of the worst kings in the world and his wife deserving of such horror. But in fact, King Louis was a very enlightened monarch. And they said that his young wife, I think she was only like 26 years old at the time, that she enjoyed nothing better than to go into the poorest districts and areas and the back roads of Paris and give out free food to the poor people. And she constantly harangued her husband and said, we must do more to help the people. But beyond that, it seems that if you study economic history as I have, you find out that France was prospering quite well during that time. People were making money. The merchants were raking it in. And not only the rich, the nobility, but, you know, the common folks were doing pretty good. So there must have been something else that roused the folks to put so many hundreds of thousands to death. I propose to you there was something else going on. And his name was Satan. And he inspired bloodletting. It had very little to do with the economy. By the way, we always have heard the phrase, you know, of the people, you know, on to the Bastille. What that was all about was there was a supposed prison for those who opposed the government or dissented from the king and queen. And they would be taken to the Bastille, which was a prison in downtown Paris, there in France. And so the people gathered in the street and said, we will go to the Bastille, the prison, and we will force the government to release the prisoners there. You would have thought there were thousands of prisoners suffering medieval tortures and so forth, eating, you know, roach-infested soup, or drinking it, I should say, and lying in lice-infested cots on the floor, freezing or burning up from extremes of temperature. But you would be wrong if you thought so, because there was only a handful of prisoners there. Some say 6, some say 12, in the entire prison. 6 or 12. Take your pick. And none of them were being tortured. In fact, many of them had almost like apartments and were given writing instruments and books to read and were fed well. That's what they found there. And of course, they let them all go. Their real reason for storming the Bastille was to capture all the weapons that were there, because it was also used as a gunnery or as an armory. Their real intention, these Illuminists, who were actually early day communists, was simply bedlam, death. They wanted to do monstrous acts of rape and plunder and torture. And they were led to do so by the Illuminati agents of Freemasonry and the Order of the Illuminati. I believe America could get very serious chopping off heads. And it might be, this is a very significant prophetic event for the money capital of Israel, Tel Aviv, for the people to produce and bring forth a great guillotine with a huge blade. I mean, it scared me, frightened me, not for myself, but for the people, just to see it in the newspaper. You can see it online. What amazing things we have going on today. But did you know that in Revelation 13, it says many people will be beheaded for their beliefs in Christ in the last days? Beheaded. Well, what better instrument than a guillotine? Of course, it seems that not only the Israelis are cranking up the guillotine, and they will use it, believe me, the synagogue of Satan, on millions of people in the last days, including many Gentile Americans. But the Muslim countries also seem to get, should we say, a chilling thrill from cutting off people's heads. So take your pick, Christian. Do you want your head cut off by the sword of the Muslim or by the guillotine of the Jew? Now, this master plan for world transformation, I want to call it the Shekinah Project. The Shekinah is a term used in the Judaic religion, Judaism, and it is the name of their great serpent goddess. I know you've gone to Christian churches and they talk about the Shekinah, and they've taught you that the meaning of that word is the overshadowing of the Holy Spirit in a Christian's life. But the Jews see the word Shekinah as meaning something entirely different. This is their great goddess, their serpent goddess. But it's really a he and a she. And this is the great serpent god that rises up out of the abyss in the last days and conquers the world and puts the Jews and their Antichrist on the throne. And in fact, the Jewish rabbis teach the Jews a concept, a doctrine that most Christians have never heard about, called Tikkun Olam, T-I-K-K-U-N, second word, Olam, O-L-A-M. This is the coming Jewish utopia, but it will only be achieved when the majority of the Gentiles in the world, the non-Jews, are murdered. But some will be allowed to live after the Jews take power and set up their Jewish kingdom. Some Gentiles will be allowed to live, but only if they agree to be servants of the Jews. But all the wealth of the wicked, that means the Gentiles, will be given to the Jews. And it is this great serpent goddess and the power that possesses, the serpentine power that possesses the minds and the hearts and the souls of Jews, that empowers them to do their dirty deeds. So that indeed this will be a 21st century of predominance by the Jews. Now, I want to take a look at the world and see what's been happening in the last 15 or 20 years as a very, very well laid out and crafted agenda has been furthered by the Jewish elite that I just simply call the Illuminati in the working out of the Shekinah project that will finally result in a Zionist New World Order. A Zionist New World Order with only token Gentiles even allowed to be servants and even to live. You know, in 1987, I remember being in a hotel room watching the news. Now the next, you know, I was on some tour for one of my best-selling books, going from city to city. And I remember specifically the day in 1987 when I went, I was just dead. I'd been on radio programs and TV programs. I was just totally exhausted. I went back to my hotel room, turned on the TV, just wanted to watch the news. Sat there and, you know, it was totally amazed. When I discovered that the stock market had collapsed that day, and Wall Street had just collapsed, and was down 24% in one day. One-fourth of all the money on Wall Street, trillions of dollars, went right down the garbage pail. Think of a loss, 24% in one day. And that was on a Friday, a Black Friday, I think they called it. Boy, that weekend, Alan Greenspan, chairman of the Fed Reserve, Robert Rubin, Secretary of the Treasury under Bill Clinton, they moved and they worked all weekend to solve the world economic system. They and their cronies were called the Plunge Protection Team. In other words, when there was a sudden sharp drop or collapse in stock market prices, which means all the big corporations and companies of America and even the world, these multinational corporations, they had set up Greenspan and Rubin and the others to be what they call the Plunge Protection Team. They would try to save the day like the Lone Ranger, except there were a number of them, of course, and decide what to do. Well, what they did was just create billions and billions of dollars out of thin air and give it to banks and corporations to make purchases of stocks. And that kept the stock market from falling. It worked for a while. It revived Wall Street. It unleashed what they later came to call, you know, the miracle, the economy. It was the manipulation of the stock market, which was a shock to many people because they thought the Fed Reserve was independent and did not manipulate or intervene in markets. They found out different. And I believe at that time the Zionist Jews and the Wall Streeters hatched their Shekinah wealth building project. They would destroy the world's economic, financial, political, and social systems, even the religious systems of this world, and rebuild everything in their image, which means in a way that would please and appease Satan himself. This was all in furtherance now of the final project, which is Tikkun Olam. By the way, that Hebrew phrase, Tikkun Olam, what that means is the rebuilding, the revising of earth. You see, Satan considers himself a great builder, while the architects honor Satan and call him the grand or the great architect of the universe and all of the Masonic lodges. He's the architect. Did you know that Masons everywhere call themselves the builders? Well, things rocked along until September the 9th, 2011. 9/11, we call it. When there was a takedown, as you know, of an inside job, really, of the Twin Towers in New York, which, by the way, symbolized the two pillars of the old world falling. This was sort of a recreation of the incident in the Bible in which the Hebrew strongman, the Hercules, Samson, pushed down the two great pillars in the temple of the Philistines. Now, if you've seen the movie Samson and Delilah, you know what I'm talking about. The two pillars. In Freemasonry, there's always been an acknowledgement, even a strange worship of these two pillars. You'll find them at every Masonic temple, the two pillars. Very prominent. Now, the meaning of and I believe it was a planned event, of course, the meaning of these two pillars, or these two towers collapsing or falling in New York City, which is the center of the world's finance, and just a stop, you know, a stone's throw almost from Wall Street. The symbolic meaning of this takedown of these two pillars, these two towers, was that the old world has fallen, and now the new world will be built up. This is what Alan Greenspan and Ben Bernanke call creative destruction. It's the same thing as the beast rising up from the abyss, which is pictured in the tree of life of the Kabbalistic religion of the Jews. Now, Revelation 13:1 talks about this same beast rising up out of the sea. And I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, the Apostle John reported after his vision from God. Now, that was the Shekinah, the great serpent deity rising up from the abyss. And did you know that the mayor, Mayor Giuliani, and the city council and all the city fathers of New York said, we're now going to have a project called Phoenix. And, you know, we will have now the city of New York rising again from the ashes. And that's what's been going on. By the way, the two pillars are also considered the male and female creative energies. It's the same as Revelation 17, the woman who rides the beast. There are two pillars, symbolically. Well, Israel rides the United States. We're the beast. She's the woman, the whore of Babylon. And, of course, Western Europe is tied in with the American system. And the woman does indeed ride the beast. Now, I want you to understand that the Jews control Wall Street, so they ride Wall Street too. And very symbolically, the New York Stock Exchange is built as a great Greco-Roman temple. And the great goddess, the woman, is sculpted right there in the stone of the, you might say, the portico or the porch. There she is. Visit New York City and you'll see. And just a block away and with eyesight of the New York Stock Exchange, which is a Greco-Roman temple, is a giant picture, a statue of George Washington. The symbology, of course, is that the great ancient religion of Greece and Rome, which can be traced back to Babylon and Egypt, that religion, its temple of money, for they worshiped indeed a god of money, looks down on George Washington, the founder of the United States. They're in charge. And in fact, they have been since the days of George Washington. Now, I want to explain something to you. After 9/11, this Project Phoenix, or the Shekinah reconstruction of the world, began in earnest. Neocon Republicans had their project called the Project for a New American Century. And that was used, of course, in this pretext of the World Trade Center towers and so forth being knocked down or blown up, really, from the inside. This was used as a pretext for the invasion of Iraq and the stealing of all their oil. Oil, which, as I've proven to you over and over again, is now being transported by great tankers in the Mediterranean, being hauled out by pipeline from Iraq through Israel and loaded up on these tankers that are owned by BP Oil Company, British Petroleum. Now, they're also co-owned by the Chinese oil companies. And thus, we now have the Illuminati being made up not only of Red China, but of Israel and the Rothschilds, who really actually own the majority of shares of BP Oil Company. So, Iraq, its leaders are paid just a pittance. They're bribed so that the oil can go to Red China. And Rothschild and Red China and the Jewish Illuminati elite are now working hand in hand. And of course, they have gotten the cooperation also of the United States and of Western Europe, including Great Britain. And now what we have are all these financial leaders of the world and many, you know, behind the scenes. And they now control the world markets, and nothing can happen. No stock, really, on the stock market can rise or fall without their permission. So if you worry about another recession happening, don't worry. It will only happen if the Jewish elite of the Illuminati decide it so. And if they don't decide on a recession, there will not be a recession. There is no free market operating in Europe and the United States. I want to repeat that again. There is no free trade. There is no free market. There is no economics 101 market forces working. There is no law of supply and demand. We now have a combination of Zionism and communism. They're Zio-communist. I mean, you know, somebody asked me, is gold going to continue to rise? Yeah. Gold's going to keep going up because the Illuminati elite now want gold to go up. Will our stock market continue to go up? Yes. Until they decide that it's going to fall. Somebody said, how can I best make a fortune in the stock market, the commodity market, the gold market? My answer is, figure out what the Illuminati lead are going to do, and then follow their lead. I don't mean heart and soul, spiritually, but if you want to make financial millions, get in lockstep with the Illuminati elite. You know, we're going to take a break now. When we come back, we'll talk more about this transformation of the world, the master plan of the elite for global transformation. You're listening to Tex Mars, and this is Power Prophecy. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Hello, friends. Tex Mars again here. You know, once a year we have a project that I ask your help in. It's for our staff, our employees. You know, we don't have a lot of staff here, and even when you count Juan and I in, we have about 10 folks or so. But they're people that we really treasure. And, you know, we have Michelle and Jessica and Jerry and Rosario and Nelson and, oh my, what are the rest of the names here? Sandra. Okay. And I've always been so impressed with our people. And I want to give you, I want to just tell you why. They love their jobs. They love serving God and they love serving you. You know, those are three pretty important things. They're not just people who say, well, thank God it's Friday. Now I'm going to go out and party, but they love to serve you. Now, every once in a while, you know, they get a cranky customer. Do they love to serve that man or woman? Yeah, I think so. I think they really do. They really want to be of service to you. And if you've ordered things from us or called up and given a donation, you know how we are different than other groups and organizations. We really do care about you. We love you. And we want to get your products to you as soon as possible after you order them. So we go out of the way to do that. If we have to work late, we'll do it. If we have to come in on the weekend, well, we're going to accomplish that. All to serve you. Now, I believe that in serving you, we're also serving God. We're doing His will. Now, there is one thing that I am very sad about, and that is we just don't have the money or the resources to really compensate our employees what they're worth. We really don't. And, you know, it was a very sad thing for a while. Because of your help, we were able to give our employees a medical insurance, not full medical insurance, but it was, you know, better than nothing. But at this time, let me tell you something. We have people who have worked for us 17 years, 18 years, 12 years. And unlike government service employees, our workers here at Power Prophecy have no retirement. We have no IRA plan. And as I just told you, we have no medical plan. You know, this can be disastrous when you get older and you have none of these plans to help you out in your old age. So why am I telling you this? Because I'm going to depend on you to help out here. If you'd like to help our employees, we call this Employee Appreciation Month. It's 1 month a year in which we ask our friends out there to please send love gifts, donations, and offerings. And if you designate them, let us know, this is for the staff, this is for the employees. We'll put it in the Employees Appreciation Fund. And what we do is when we've gathered all the money for that year, then we divide it out equally to all of our employees. Now, I can honestly say I don't have one employee here that doesn't deserve this extra offering. Every one of them, you know, has just done a superlative job. You know, this year we put out my new book, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. We're fixing to put out another video called Die, America, Die. We have our radio program. We have our two internet sites, plus we have our Twitter and our Facebook sites that we've started up. And we not only published this book, but we've reprinted a number of our books. And by the way, we're just finishing up with our catalog. So for most of you out there, if you've given to us this year just by buying something, you're on our mailing list. We're going to send you a new catalog. We have our monthly newsletter that we send out and always try to give you interesting things in it. Do I not, friends? Now, this radio program, as I said, we have it on the radio. It's heard over American Voice Network. It's on shortwave radio. And then our, you know, my voice and Power Prophecy radio program is heard on our website. In fact, both of our websites, powerprophecy.com and conspiracyworld.com, in perfect clarity. Okay. Great sound. But we also make tapes of the programs and offer them because some of you don't even have a computer, and that's okay. We'll try to get the message to you as best we can. Folks, I'm counting on you to come through with love gifts, offerings, and donations. If you can send $5 or $500 or $5,000, we would be so appreciative. And address it to me. Say, Dear Tex, that's T-E-X-E. Dear Tex, this is for your workers. This is for your employees. And I'm going to make sure they get it, okay? But be sure to let us know it's for the employees. I guess it won't be the end of the world, because if you don't, we will just put it in the ministry treasury and it'll help to pay all the other expenses we've got. Now, some people say, well, Tex, you're selling books and videos. You must be making a lot of money from that. Well, friends, you are wrong. You're absolutely wrong. And you're welcome to come see us anytime you want, and I'll show you our accounting records, and your mouth will probably drop. We're actually losing money. The only way we're able to pay our bills is because of love gifts, that's right, donations and offerings, over and above the money, the income we get in from selling things. If we had to depend only on selling things, we would already be out of business. Now, I want to emphasize to you that Wanda and I decided that this money does not go to either one of us, okay? It just doesn't. We sort of have a system here. It's either Wanda and I get to eat and pay our shelter and all that, or we don't, depending on how generous are the folks out there. But this particular fund doesn't go to us at all. It goes only to the employees. So you're not, if you say, well, I'm just feathering Tex and Wanda's nest. No, you're not. In fact, I want to, you know, tell you again, I actually almost reluctant to tell you these things, because you'll think, well, Tex is crying poor mouth. I'm not crying poor mouth. I'm going to do okay. And I want to tell you something, friends. If you don't help us out and keep this ministry going and alive throughout the world as with the work that we do, God will call somebody else to keep us here. I mean, we may have to scrimp and save, and maybe we'll have to work without electric light, you know, let the grass grow. We, you know, can't afford gasoline for our lawnmowers and all that. I don't know what we'll have to do to stay in business. We're going to be here, though. We're going to stick around. And it's a matter of, do you want a blessing? And do you really care about America, about our people, about the world, about evangelism, about salvation? Do you care that a truthful message? Friends, can you name one other church or ministry that does what we do? Do you know anyone else that will tell you about the Zionists, about the Rothschilds, about the corruption in higher levels of government? Do you know anybody out there that has the courage to do so? That knows, you know, they just got to serve the Lord? And we passionately do that. Talk about passion. Wow. We've got it. But I'll tell you something, friends. We do need you. If you don't want to give, you'll lose a blessing. And we're still going to somehow eke by, as they used to call it. But I'm not beyond begging for my workers. I'm not begging you to give to me. And in fact, I do not receive any royalties from my books and videos. I don't get paid a salary. I don't have an auto allowance. I don't have medical paid for by the ministry, or a retirement, or a IRA, or what is it, 401k? I don't have any of those things from the ministry. You know, we were audited by the IRS many years ago, and they found everything in order financially. In fact, the guy was amazed. He said, do you go on a lot of trips, you know, luxury trips with ministry money? And we laughed at the IRS guy. Are you kidding? What are you... who pays for your car? Who pays for my car? I pay for my car. Do you have a car allowance? No. Do you have an entertainment expense allowance? You know, where you take people to fancy dancy restaurants? I said, no, I don't have anything like that. Well, who in your ministry has that? Well, nobody here has that. I think the IRS actually was absolutely flabbergasted. And the audit ended with us not owing 1 cent. And they were just sure they could find something financially, because they didn't like what we were teaching. So they were using the audit as a blunt instrument to try to stop us. But we went right on ticking, as they say. Now listen, I don't mind getting paid very little. I do not mind myself. I'll make it one way or another. I will. But I do love and I care for my staff as much as I care and love you. And I'm telling you right now, we need help. I think their salaries are insufficient. I cannot do a lot about it, but they deserve more. They're good people. They work hard. No one works as hard for you. No one could. Okay, I've said enough, okay? I might remind you in the next few weeks again about our Employees Appreciation Fund. Again, it will go everyone, every cent, just like when we have our orphanage project, our children's home, once a year, right before Christmas and so forth. Every cent of that goes to the kids. IRS, are you listening? If you plan to audit us again, look for it. But actually, anybody who will visit us here, I'll show you. I'll show you our books. You'll see. We don't hide anything here. We don't have to hide anything here. Thank you so much. God bless you. Our address, of course, for you to send your love gift or offering is to Text Mars or Power Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Now, write your checks to Text Mars or Power Prophecy, but be sure to put a little sticky note or a piece of paper in the envelope and say, Text, this is for your employees. You keep your little mitts off of it. Okay, I will. I promise you. In fact, it may surprise you, but I don't even open the envelopes. Our workers, our employees open up all the envelopes. I don't even see them, but they give me all the letters and all the messages, and I read every one of those. So if you write me a letter, I'm not able to write back most of the time. But if you have a prayer request, I will personally pray for you. If you want me to know that one of the programs was great and encouraged me, hey, I'm just like anybody else. I'm just a man. I need encouragement. I'd love to hear from you. I'd also like to hear your opinion. And if you think I'm going on the wrong track, well, pray for me and tell me about that too. Say, Tex, you're going wrong, but I'm praying for you. Well, I like that. I don't mind people telling me I'm wrong. Now, I may look up your address and go whomp you over the head or something. No, I'm not going to do that. Jerry, have I ever whomped anybody on the head? Now, there might have been a few that deserved it, but I didn't even do them. You know what? No, I appreciate it. You know, you learn from your critics. I've always said, if I don't get enough hate mail, I think I'm not doing things right for the Lord. I got to cramp up the volume a little bit here, man. Or amp it up, I should say. Amp up the volume. Write me a hate letter. I love it. Makes me work harder. And if I did do something wrong, friends, let me know that. Or we need to improve here at the ministry. You'll be doing us a favor. You won't make me mad. I promise you, I won't get mad at you at all. But especially if you need prayer, it is a privilege to pray for the saints. It's not a burden. It's not some hard work you have to do. It gets me in touch with God. When I pray for you, I get blessed and inspired by God. The Bible says that God inhabits, he lives in the prayers of the saints. I don't know how he does it. That's miraculous. We have these old bodies and they've got corpuscles and cells and, you know, parts. But God is a spirit and he can actually live wherever he wants. And he inhabits the prayers of the saints. You want God to come live with you? Pray to him. Isn't that an amazing? I mean, what is that? How can you inhabit the prayers? But he does. And you know, I have noticed that when I pray to God, the house is full. The habitation is blessed. It's got a great occupant or resident whose name is Jesus. And that's the one you want to live with you for as long as you can, friends. You want a house guest? Well, ask him to come in. Let's talk a little bit more about the Illuminati's global transformation, how they're changing the world. And they have a specific agenda for transformation or change. One is spiritual. They want to bring all the world's spiritualities together, okay? Whether it's Protestantism and Catholicism and Islam. But the one religion that is going to stand out and be in charge of all the others and remain distinct and separate is Judaism, Satan's religion, the synagogue of Satan. Did you know the Council of Foreign Relations now has a religious roundtable? They brought in Christians and Jews and really Satanists, but Muslims, Buddhists. They brought them all together. And Henry Kissinger, of all people, is head of the religious roundtable of the Council on Foreign Relations. And to make sure the message gets out the same everywhere, Mr. Kissinger has been invited by Pope Benedict to be his religious advisor and counsel. Can you believe that? Wow. Periodically, you know, in Chicago or in another location, here in the United States, there is a parliament of the world's religions. A parliament. Like a United Nations of religions. There's another one over in Astana, the new city in Kazakhstan called Astana, the star city. It's called the Congress of World Religions. So they're all coming together. And what people are being told is, it's okay to have your own religion, but you cannot say that yours is special or distinct from the others. Because they want us all to think that Jesus is not special, no more than Muhammad, no more than Buddha. And it doesn't matter what religion you are. But it does, even if they say it doesn't. Now, this transformation of the world is taking place in the financial and economic realms. And as I just told you, in the spiritual or religious realm. Then there's the political structures, government, that's changing. And then finally, we're having created right in front of our eyes a globalized society through multiculturalism. You know, every time I turn on, I love to watch news. That's all I basically watch on TV. Every time I turn on CNN or Fox News or CNBC, what do I find? They've got a new reporter. They've got a new financial analyst, a new, you know, whatever. And it's somebody from some foreign place. They've got Chinese and Pakistanis and Indians. You know, it's basically Americans have lost America. They brought in all these foreigners and they're running everything. They're everywhere. They want to make sure we see that on TV. That shows are being produced with Pakistani and Thai and Chinese and Malaysian actors and news personnel. No more just America. That's not allowed. And that's one of the reasons, of course, that the Zionists have pushed so hard to dissolve all the borders in the world. You'll find that in the book, The Protocols of Zion, that we offer. The Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. Their intention is to end all the borders, to dissolve national sovereignties, bring everybody together as one. We're going to have a North American Union. They've already got the European Union. Our North American Union will be made up of Mexico and Canada and the United States. And then they're going to fold in Central America and South America. So we have a one world or a new world order system. Now I want to go back again to the Shekinah reconstruction of the world in its financial system. You know, just this last week we had an incredible roller coaster ride on Wall Street. It seems that the banking system of Europe was about to collapse. And the big banks of France and Italy and Greece were going under. And then everything just got smooth and got better. And the stock market improved. What happened? How did that occur? The banks were all going bankrupt. You see, during the great mortgage debacle in the United States, the Illuminati elite allowed the Fed Reserve and our Treasury and groups like, AIG, American Insurance General, and then there was the groups that gave people mortgages, Fannie Mae and the others, all corrupt groups. But what they would do is give mortgages to people that didn't deserve it, that really couldn't afford it. Homes across America, millions of homes were sold. Many of them, the mortgage companies, the financial institutions would take an application for a mortgage loan for the home from some Mexican illegal alien who didn't even have a job. And they would hoax it. It would be just a fabrication, a bunch of lies. And they would lie and say, yeah, this guy has a job. He's making $100,000 a year. The guy didn't even have a job at McDonald's making $10 an hour. They just lied. And then they would bundle these so-called subprime mortgages, meaning the person really couldn't afford to pay for it, put them all together, send them up to Wall Street, and then the so-called rating agencies, Moody's and Standard and Poor's and the others, would stamp them AAA+. Oh, yeah, this mortgage has good rating. Stamp it AAA+. And pretty soon billions of dollars was flowing into Wall Street, into the big banks and such, through these fake, bogus mortgage applications. And so all of these people, hundreds of thousands, millions of homes were built in places like Las Vegas and Orlando, Florida, Palm Beach, and on, Los Angeles, Seattle, Washington, Houston, Texas, on and on and on and on it goes. And some people were given million-dollar loans. I was reading about a guy that made $40,000 a year, and they gave him a condo in New York, a mortgage, for $10 million. I don't think you can pay a $10 million mortgage with an income of $40,000, but he got it. Another man I heard from told me that he got a mortgage to buy a home, $500,000 home. He only made $35,000 a year. Now, the bank, the mortgage person at the bank, he said, how am I going to pay this back? They encouraged him, you see, to buy the house, quote unquote, buy it. Because they were going to give him this mortgage for this $500,000 home. He said, I can't even afford to pay a monthly note. I won't even make the first note. They said, don't worry about it. Here's how it works. And they winked at him, you know. We'll give you this $500,000 house and you and your family move in. Don't pay anything. After about a year, we'll send you a letter saying you're delinquent on your mortgage. And we may have to foreclose on you. And then you come and see us and say, well, what are you going to do? And we, the bank, will just roll it over and do a new loan. Now we'll have to add all the interest back in. All the interest you didn't pay plus penalties. And the new loan will probably be for a higher interest rate because you've shown that you can't pay your bills. So we'll charge you more because your credit rating is lower. But we'll let you stay another year or two without making any payments. Then we'll roll it over again. We'll just keep rolling over your mortgage. You can live here free forever. Now, folks, you think I'm kidding about this. I'm not kidding you. This is what actually was happening in America. Now, here's another thing that was happening. One bank that gave the mortgage like that then would turn around and sell it to another bank. And they would turn around and sell it to another bank. They were all selling back and forth, flipping and flopping back and forth. Till pretty soon, it was leveraged up to 70 times. In fact, most of the mortgages in America the last 3 years before the 2008 Great Recession set in, when everything just flipped over then, most of the mortgages in America were underwater, and the homes were leveraged like 70 times. They wanted you to come in and get a mortgage. If you were to buy even a low-cost home for $100,000, they could flip it through all the bank processes, and it'd end up being leveraged 70 times. That's $7 million. So for the bankers, they received $7 million. Every time one customer bought a $100,000 home, they got $7 million credit for it. Then they could take that $7 million and leverage it 70 times. How much is that? You get the point. I think it's $490 million. Then they could leverage that again. Folks, don't you wish you were a car dealer during times like that? You could sell the same car 70 times. Not only one guy is driving it and has his name on the title, but there's 70 companies that have the loan on their books. Well, obviously, this is a great Ponzi scheme, and it finally came to its end. But what was created was $800 trillion of something called derivatives. That's the leveraging. $800 trillion. And friends, they were fighting for a few trillion dollars, in Washington, D.C. on our budget, right? Just recently. $14 trillion, they said, or something. I'm talking about creation by the crooked Zionist banking system of $800 trillion. That's, I mean, that'd be the American congressional debt, the federal debt, for, centuries. But it all came crashing down. But now, after the crash, the stock market, for example, went from 13,000 on the Dow down to 6,500. In other words, it halved. But then the Federal Reserve started cranking up the printing presses. They actually do it electronic. It's not by printers. They don't pass out bills. But they just credit all the banks with money. Here, we're going to give you a loan at 0% interest. Pretty soon, trillions. No one really knows how much the Fed has given out, the Federal Reserve. I believe it could be up to $100 or $200 or $300 trillion they've given to huge corporations and banks around the world. And they've kept the stock market up. And they've got the gold market. And it's gone up. And the oil markets. People aren't buying much oil now. They can't afford gasoline at $4 a gallon. But it doesn't matter. The price for oil futures and oil per gallon is going to go, or per barrel is going to go up anyway, because the Fed Reserve is just printing money, printing money, printing money, printing money. The whole system is corrupt. Will it fall again? Yes, but then they'll get even bigger printing presses and print more money and print more money. And finally, there will be a great, great crash, and we will all be impoverished. But friends, listen to me. I want to explain something to you. This may sound crazy to you, but did you know that wealth is never lost? Now, I know economists will try to tell you different. Wealth is redistributed. It goes through different hands, but it won't be lost. Somebody will have it. You and I may be in poverty. We may be living in tents or in caves, but somebody out there is going to be very, very rich. I wish I had more time to talk about this transformation of the world by the Illuminati. It's being done by design. They're going to break the backs of the American people. We've never had this done to us before because the Zionists have never totally controlled the government, the banking system, the economy, and even the religious system. There is no one, hardly, here on earth that you can even go to for good spiritual counsel and advice. Because they're so eat up in the race, the drive, the desire, the satanic desire for material riches. And a new world is being set up, friends. Red China is to become the leader of the new world order. Not that its people will have any more than we will. They're going to break everything down until we're all peasants. We're all poor. Except the Zionist at the very top. And even the everyday Israeli knows they're being taken for a ride by the rich Israeli billionaires. That's why they brought out a guillotine and put it on display in Israel. The common people are threatening the billionaires. But remember, the billionaires have all the armies. They have all the military forces. They have the Homeland Security. They have the Big Brother police state. They know bad things are going to happen. And they're going to make sure we do the suffering and not them through their Big Brother police state. Well, you've been listening to Tex Mars. What can we do about these things? We certainly need to pray about them. We need to do some figuring of what we're going to do to stop this. Can we take back America? I'm not sure we can. But still, we've got to ask God for guidance, for counsel, for wisdom. After all, ask yourself this question. Who's the wiser? Who's the smarter? The devil or God? Then ask yourself this final question. Whose side are you on? Or better yet, who's standing in your corner? As the fight for truth, for liberty, and justice goes on. Who's in your corner, dear friends? Who's managing your war affairs? I pray it will be Jesus Christ. You're listening to Tex Mars. It's been great being with you. My prayer, dear friends, is you will tune in each week during this same time. Tune in and discover the power of prophecy.